This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. So how well does a piano fare when it's dropped out of a plane and parachuted down to the ground?
That's a really good question. I'm sure that they were very well packed, and I know that they were also fitted with some tuning tools and repair tools.
I'm in Garrick Peterson's studio at Eastern Michigan University. He's a concert pianist and a Steinway artist. We're talking about a project during World War II involving upright Steinways, music, morale, pianos, patriotism. He's calling it the Victory Vertical Project. Somebody got the great idea of, hey, let's parachute some pianos in, some upright pianos, some Steinway upright pianos to these guys, and that'll boost morale. Who thought of that idea?
It's a good question. I believe that the Steinway staff had a lot to do with it. I know that there was the War Production Board was ordering all kinds of morale-boosting musical supplies, and they said we could make pianos that we could send over to boost morale.
Now, you know, we're sitting at a couple of Steinway grand pianos right now. This is not what they were sending. Tell me about these pianos.
Well, as soon as the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, factories were diverted to the war effort. And because pianos required brass and copper and iron, they were prohibited from being made. So the plan was to make a piano with as little metal, as few metal parts as possible. A typical upright piano has up to about 300 pounds of metal in it, and these pianos had to be made with about 33 pounds of metal. So,
well, that's a challenge, but I guess Steinway probably knew a little something about making pianos of different kind at the time.
Yeah, they had a history of going back clear to before pianos had metal frames, and so they could look at that history.
So these soldiers and sailors scattered all around, these pianos were not the ebony wood-looking finishes now. These were painted different colors. Tell me about that.
Well, the government ordered them, and they specified exactly what they should look like. And so they were, for the Army, they were painted olive drab, and for the Navy, they were painted either blue or gray.
What was the result when they started parachuting these pianos in? Sometimes, I suppose, the troops didn't know they were coming. They were just a surprise. What happened?
All I know is from the government perspective, they planned very carefully where the pianos were going to be sent, and there were lots of requests for pianos. You know, the USO was formulated during World War II for the soldiers, and there were USO centers throughout all of the fronts, you know, not just in the U.S., but in Europe and in Northern Africa and in Asia as well. And so there was a need for pianos just for sing-alongs or for performances. And so a lot of the pianos were put in a truck and taken to the nearest USO.
Of course, a lot of these weren't parachuted in, but you found that some of them were transferred by submarine, by other ships. I can't imagine they'd have a lot of room for an upright piano in a submarine.
No, that story is really very interesting, because the idea was we can't put men under the ocean for that long and not give them something to do, or they will go stir crazy. So we're going to install a piano in the submarine. And it actually was put in before the submarine was completed. And so when it came time to decommission the submarine, it was impossible to remove the piano without taking the whole boat apart.
Why did you get interested in this?
Great question. I picked out a piano at the Steinway factory in 2010 for my studio here at Eastern Michigan University. And on that day, I had an opportunity to sit down and visit with Henry Steinway, who was the last member of the Steinway family involved with the company. And actually, he had sold the company many years ago by then. But he was still acting as an advisor and a consultant and coming into his office at Steinway Hall about 3 or 4 days a week. And I sat down and I just asked him a lot of questions, and one of them was, tell me something that you're really proud of. And he started telling me this story. And I was amazed, but I thought I probably was the last person to hear about it. And I came home and I started talking to my colleagues and friends, and nobody knew that this had happened. And so that's when I got really interested and started to research.
Tonight you're holding a concert, the Victory Vertical Project. You'll be celebrating Veterans Day. Tell me what that's about.
I'm launching a project actually that I hope that I plan to continue for the next 2 years, for 2018 and 2019, just telling this story in a series of vignettes and musical performances. So I'm playing music from the war, both jazz, popular music, film music, and classical music, both extremely serious music and very lighthearted, fun music, and just trying to tell the story of the ubiquitous value of music during World War II.
Tell me what they might have played. What's that piano landed near them or at the USO?
Well, the pianos included sheet music, and the sheet music included light classics. It included Protestant hymnals. It included sing-along patriotic songs, and it included popular tunes. And so probably Henry said that the most difficult pieces in the collection were usually the boogie-woogie, and there was always somebody who could play well enough to sit down and work out those boogie-woogies, and the soldiers seemed to love that.
So this project is not just for EMU students. You want to get the word out about this project.
I think that this is a story that needs to be told, and I think it needs to be told now. I think it matters in our time, both because of the idea of the value of music that is being promulgated in this message, but also because a war is a war of ideas and values. It's not just a war of military might. And so when, in World War II, when a composer was drafted and then after basic training sent home and said, you need to write music because you're a musician and that's the best thing you can do for your country right now is to write patriotic American music. I just think that's a wonderful message for all time.
So who do you think the audience is for the story of the Victory Verticals and the music that you're playing?
Well, I think especially those people who love World War II history, who remember it or, you know, were alive or were born shortly thereafter. I know I've always been fascinated because both of my father and my father-in-law were involved at the very tail end of the war and had wonderful stories. But I also think I would love to perform for student groups and just for general audiences because it's a great story and the music is really beautiful. I would like to include sing-alongs if people are interested. I would like to include stories about a program about the USO, which I think is an incredible phenomenon, and about racial integration of the armed forces, which was one of the primary purposes or goals of the USO when it was formed and was accomplished by presidential proclamation in 1948.
Now, this presentation is not just some of the tunes. You also have a show, I understand.
Well, I have a PowerPoint presentation that includes actual live video by Henry Steinway. It includes some stills from a World War II movie as I play some of the soundtrack of the movie. It has pictures of soldiers singing, pictures of the pianos in various situations, including in the bomb bay of an airplane where Lili Pons and Andre Kostolanitz traveled with their pianos so that they could perform right on the front line. They didn't want to just stay in the USO. They wanted to set up wherever, no matter how dangerous the place was.
Tonight you'll be playing a Steinway Grand, but you hope to get one of these. What are the likelihood that you'll actually get one of these Victory Vertical pianos?
What a great question. I'm told it's very likely. The Steinway dealer, Steinway Gallery in Detroit, he has encountered many of them through his long career, and they, until recently, were not considered of any value at all. And it's just recently that people have recognized that there's historical value in these instruments, even if they are not musically of a high standard. When they were built, Steinway was not even allowed or asked to put their name on them because they were built for the government to government specifications. And so many of the pianos have nothing that indicates that they are Steinway pianos. The later ones, actually, they did place Steinway and Sons on them.
So if you find one of these, don't get rid of the gray or blue or drab green finish and make it look nice. It's going to be a lot more valuable if you leave it alone.
And that has happened so often, you know. Through the years, people have said, you could turn this into a regular piano by doing this and this, and I just shudder.
That's Garrick Peterson. He's going to be performing tonight at the Alexander Recital Hall at Eastern Michigan University. And the tickets are free. That's nice.
That's right.
Garrick Peterson is professor of piano at Eastern Michigan University in the School of Music and Dance. We'll have links to the Victory Vertical Project on our website, michiganradio.org. Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.